Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode number 70 of Cephalon Squared. Who'd have thunk we'd have come this far, but hell yes, we have. I'm Cephalon Greg. I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you?
I'm good. 70. Shit. Wow.
Shit is about it, to be honest.
Wow.
We're only 30 episodes away from a hundy.
Woohoo!
A cold hundy. And we're only five episodes from three quarters of a hundy.
Oh, no. This is a... This has been a journey. It's great. Loving this.
Quite a journey indeed. Quite a journey indeed. And along the way, we encounter some weather.
A wild weather ramble appears.
Weather rambles.
Weather rambles.
Weather rambles.
Weather rambles.
So how is the weather treating you up north in Quenzaland?
Well, here in Ipswich right now, it is currently 26 degrees Celsius with a 62% humidity, and it is 7 p.m. It has been a hot weekend, and I'm over it.
Indeed. So for you American folk, that's 78 degrees Fahrenheit at 7 p.m. Ha ha to Lucas is all I can say, because down here in Melbourne, it's only 14 degrees. Beautiful. 57 degrees Fahrenheit, 57% humidity. It's just all right. 57's all round.
It's all right. Once we're done recording this, I'm going over to a friend's place and sleeping in aircon.
Is beer going to be involved?
Maybe. Alcohol may be involved.
Beer's always good on a hot night.
Alcohol is just good in general, but anyways.
Well, yes and no. Anyways. All right. That's the weather cast. Get an indie if you like it, and if you don't, sorry. It only took fucking 30 seconds, so I'm sure you got over it. Anyway, what did you get up to in Warframe or Kurtzpell this week?
I love how you actually mentioned Kurtzpell specifically. There's been a lot of Kurtzpell being played this week. lots of PvP, which I'm terrible at, but I'm actually doing really good in Kurtzpell at the moment, PvP-wise, so that's awesome. It just makes me want to play more. And just normally leveling in Warframe, you know, got my Kuva Quartak that it's on Threeformer now.
Dang.
Yeah. It hits hard. I love it. And I have just finished getting all three of the murmurs completed for my fourth lich, which I'm going to convert. This one's a keeper.
Tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's been a little bit of Warframe, a little bit of Kurtzpell. Mostly Kurtzpell.
So, I have been playing all sorts of stuff this week. Started with Trails of Cold Steel 3 on PS4, which I am doing for review. And, what to say? One, it's very Japanese. Two, so much text. So much goddamn text. So, if you love Japanese role-playing games and reading a lot, Trails of Cold Steel 3 is for you. Apart from that, I watched the Grinder Gear Games presentation for what's coming up in Path of Exile just yesterday, and it got me all excited, and I've been playing Path of Exile again, and in fact, I just got freaking mega super crazy addicted to it again. Can't stop playing. such a great game, good old Path of Exile. So that's me, and pretty much been doing the same things as Lucas on the Warframes. I got my second lich. I'm halfway through taking her down. She's got a lovely, lovely Kuva Chakur with 47% heat, and I cannot wait to get my hands on that.
Nice. Indeed. Actually, now, you know, speaking of other games at the moment, I just wanted to quickly pick your brain, if I may.
Ew.
Whether or not you have heard of the changes coming to the meme of the year, Anthem.
Yes.
And what are your
Anthem
thoughts? Anthem Next.
Well, I haven't heard of what the specific changes are, but why not? Anthem could have been a great game, but it just wasn't.
From what I've heard, there's going to be loot changes, like heavy loot changes.
Needs that.
Complete map overhaul.
Probably needs that.
Yeah, yeah. Mission objectives are being overhauled completely as well. So it's basically they're rebuilding the entire game from the ground up.
Well, that's why they went quiet. They said they were going to have all these things coming out after it launched, and then they didn't.
Yeah.
So obviously they decided, you know what? We made a bit of a shit game. We're going to have to remake this game in its entirety, which, you know, it takes a lot to win the support of fans back. But yeah. There's a lot of people out there that bought it and wanted it to be good, myself and yourself included.
Exactly right.
And when they release that, I will definitely go back.
Yeah.
And give it another shot. Sure, it's EA, but whatever.
It was enjoyable. Like with what we did play, we enjoyed it, but it got boring. It got very stale. So
very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, there have been other games in the past that have had, in my opinion, even worse outputs than what Anthem did, looking at you, No Man's Sky. And now you look at where No Man's Sky is, its popularity has picked up pretty damn big again. Yeah. So, all because of restructuring and changes and shit.
Yep, so I say...
Good luck.
Good luck.
Do it.
To Team thing. Anthem, you need it. Indeed. Alrighty, so let's move on to the actual Warframe talk, and we'll head into the news. Do you want to start? How do you want to do this?
Let's do it. Okay, I'll start. Okay, first piece of news for this week, Saren and Valkyria Prime Vault closing on November the 19th to be replaced by Vorben and Ash Prime. The whole bundle will also include the Fragor, Vectus, Axtiletto Primes, as well as the Carrier Prime Sentinel and some Prime Sundanas and Sugatras. Woo! All the good stuffs.
Hell yeah. It's pretty good. I was taking a look at it earlier. I've got all that stuff on PS4, but if I didn't have it, I'd be pretty excited. Vorben and Ash Prime are good. Not amazing, but good, and haven't played Vorben since he came out.
Ash Prime was my first Prime Warframe I ever got. So yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Interesting. A little bit of nostalgia for Lucas.
Yeah.
Fragor is good, and especially with the new melee updates, apparently it's very good. We'll get up to that later. Vectus Prime is one of my favourite snipers.
Oh, hell yes.
And Axtiletto Prime is just fun. It's not the most powerful secondary in the game, but it's a really good secondary. So, and Carrier Prime. Come on. Everyone wants that.
Everyone wants a Carrier Prime.
So, it's a good one, I reckon. Yay.
Good stuff.
They're bringing out lots of good stuff. Saren and Valkyria was good. Now this one's going to be good. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, next. The Old Blood is now in certification on all console platforms, so expect it out this week, all going well. Note this includes everything up until the... not the most recent PC patch, because that came out at the same time as this. So the stuff that's in the most recent one, which we'll get into soon, is not included in the console patch, but everything else prior is, so it's fairly stable, but not super stable, and it's just a lot of fun anyway. So get excited, console folks. Woo!
Woo! More excitement all around. According to this week's Remote Observer, the Switch update will also get some special additions, including USB chat and performance fixes. There was also another PC hotfix outlined here, and this stuff is not on the console cert submission, but we'll go over this in the discussion, and that's basically just what Greg was going on about.
Exactly. It was. I realized that as soon as you started reading it. Went, yeah. Said the same thing. But... what we can do is, for those console users out there that have forgotten what comes in the Old Blood, let's mention what it is. So it's the Liches and their weapons. What else?
That is Grendel.
Grendel? Grendel. Melee Phase 2?
Yes, yes. The Parazon.
Parazon? Arbitrations changes?
Arbitration changes, yes. Yes.
Was that it?
I think that was kind of... Yeah, it was pretty
it
much...
It doesn't sound like much, but the Liches and the melee changes themselves are enough for two separate updates.
Yeah.
It's a pretty massive update. They themselves have stated that it is the biggest update they've done in the last year. So, be excited.
Yes.
Get your excited pants on.
Excited.
All right. So that's all of the DE news. Let's do some Cephalon Squared news. So there is less than a week to enter our final Capturer competition for 2019, because that's what year it is this year. There are three prizes of 300 platinum up for grabs for anyone who enters. Well, not anyone who enters. You got to win. But jump on Twitter, Facebook, or Discord to find out the details. It's just Capturer. Take an image of a victory of some sorts, whatever your definition may be. And we've got some interesting definitions. Really good entries. So get them in. There's only 1 week left.
Dun dun.
Plenty of time. You can do it. You can do it.
Do it. Show us your glorious Capturer.
Indeed.
Yes. And finally, our merch store sale is on from Wednesday the 20th until the end of the month, and that is at tpublic.com/stores/Cephalon Squared.
Indeed. So if you've been thinking about buying a t-shirt or a mug or whatever with Cephalon Squared logo on it or whatever you like from our store, now's the time, because I think it's up to 30% off, which is pretty significant.
30%? That's amazing!
I also think there's quite a lot of sales throughout December as well, but I'll let you know. And lastly, before we move on, because a lot of people don't necessarily listen to the end, I'll do some of the end stuff here. If you do enjoy what we're doing at Cephalon Squared and you'd like to throw us a bone, head on over to cephalonsquared.com/support to see how you can do so. Of course, just listening, sharing, clicking like, all of that stuff is pretty damn good in the meantime, but if you'd like to help us out in other ways, that's the way to take a look at it. Anyway, so that's all of the news, and we're going to head on into the discussion for this week. There's a couple of things to talk about. First, we're going to start with the hotfix, because there was actually quite a lot of stuff buried in the notes. The notes were huge, just for a hotfix. There's, you know, a couple of pages worth of notes, and I went through them all and took out all of the important bits of information. So do you want to go through bit by bit, Lucas?
Sure, let's do this.
If you don't understand what my notes are, I'll explain them.
Okay, well, the last one looks very ununderstandable.
So let's start with... it's not finished.
Lich Trading and the Crimson Branch. This is an interesting one. This one, they've now decided to add in an additional room to the dojos in which you can specifically go and trade converted liches with people.
Yes, so they specifically have to be converted?
Yes, converted. And when the other person receives them, they will be unconverted and it basically becomes a hunt again.
Is it lich for lich?
Actually, that's one thing that's very interesting about it. You can actually trade literally anything at this trading post, but you can't trade liches at other trading posts. So this is essentially
weird.
A better trading post.
Got it.
It's weird. So you can actually go platinum for lich or riven for lich or mod for lich, whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Do you have to have no lich already chasing you in order to be able
to... Exactly right. That is definitely a thing. You cannot have any active lich during the time of the trade. Otherwise, it just doesn't work and you don't get your new lich. And there's a mozzie flying around my room. Squashed it, little bastard. Anyway, what I was getting on before is if you have traded your stage 5 lich that you converted over to your friend, then when they go to hunt that said lich, it will still be stage 5. So it's basically at the stage you converted it is the stage the other person receives it as an enemy.
Interesting. Will that person have to go through the requiem? Does it reset the murmurs?
That I'm actually unsure about, because it doesn't... You don't get to actually see the murmurs, but I'm fairly certain that if the other person remembers what their murmur code was, it should just be able to go, cool, this was the murmur code for it. Yeah.
Testing required.
Cool. I was asking Jellybean about this the other day, and he actually said to me that he completely forgot about any of his converted lich codes, so...
Yeah, unless it was the last one you did, it's not likely to be something you're going to remember, unless you take notes like Raven.
Yes, that's probably a good idea from this point on.
Interesting.
Take notes if you're going to trade, remember what that kill code was.
Cool. All right, the next note from this hotfix is, you will no longer receive back-to-back duplicate Kuva weapons. So, I know that Cannibal Kiwi in our clan and Discord, etc., was receiving the Kuva Brack 3 or 4 times in a row before he got another weapon, and it was very frustrating for him.
Ooh.
So DE has made it so that you won't get the same weapon back-to-back, which is good.
Good things are good.
Indeed.
Yes. Next up, recycle Requiem mods. Now, we already knew you could sell used up Requiem mods for either 500 endo or 25,000 credits, but if you have 4 of them, you can now transmute them for a random unused Requiem mod. Super useful and kind of eliminates a bit of that need to farm. So makes the grind a bit easy.
People have been requesting making the grind a little bit easier, and that's one way to do it without, you know, simplifying it further, because I think it's probably in a good spot right now.
That's actually a really good addition.
I agree. All right, next. Kuva Fishers can now appear on all Kuva Fortress nodes. So originally it was only, I think, Rescue and Survivals, and it was getting kind of dull when I was first farming for relics. Fishers. So now they can appear on all Fortress nodes to sort of shake things up and make it a bit more exciting. Woo-woo!
Woo-woo! And the next one is a double hitter. So starting off, we have Ephemera now work on pets and sentinels. Yay!
Yeah, so this was actually a glitch. When you went into your pets and sentinels and you went to the appearance tab, you could choose an ephemera for it, which wasn't intended initially, but they decided, what the hell? Let's make it a feature.
Make it a feature.
So now it's a feature. Which is pretty cool.
Now it's a feature. Features are good.
Indeed. The next one, of course, like you said, it's a twofer, so ephemera chance has been increased. So originally, the ephemera chance, or the chance for a lich to have an ephemera, was only 5%. Now it's 10%, and as Lucas informed me last night, the way that you can tell whether or not your lich has an ephemera is you can see it when you're looking at your lich screen.
Yep, and there's quite a few to be had, and 7, some 9. Of them actually very interesting.
They look cool.
And especially the Impact one. Have you seen the Impact one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's actually really cool. I want it for Grendel, like right now. Like yesterday, even. It's awesome. Anyway, moving ahead, they have also made Lich Larvalings spawns a hell of a lot more common. So those people that were having trouble going into captures, especially looking at you, Greg, going into captures and, you know, finding that there's no Larvaling appearing, that has been kind of rectified, and now they are actually more commonly to spawn.
Yeah, so I think it took me, I did it like 10 times and got nothing, and then
suddenly last night you did it like 3 times and got one?
Yeah. So, but the I should have said made Lich and Larvaling spawns more common. So, there is a difference, of course. The Larvaling is how you make your Lich, and the Lich spawning is when the Lich bloody attacks you. So, maybe you don't want that to happen so commonly. But there were a whole bunch of reasons why the Lich wouldn't spawn previously. So, unless you had a perfect run, the Lich was less likely to spawn. So now it's more likely to spawn, which explains why my Lich was just spawning every bloody second last night, Lucas.
That does make sense. Although mine wasn't spawning all that much today, weirdly enough.
Bloody. Warframe. All right, the next one.
Bug frame.
Holding melee will now perform the heavy attack. So, like it used to. It was that you had to press the alternate fire button in order to do heavy attack, but now you can just hold down melee and it'll do it as well.
Actually, both work, so
yeah.
It's a good way to... If you're used to one way, then use it that way, but if you enjoy the new way, then do it the new way.
Indeed.
Next one, very interesting one. Crit chance mods. Wow. Okay, so True Steel has been upgraded from 60% crit chance to 120% crit chance. That's a big jump. and Sacrificial Steel has been jumped from 88% crit chance to 220%. These are both 2 times for heavy
attacks.
Yes.
Yeah, so massive, massive increase, and that's because of the new melee changes, obviously, mainly, probably, I would imagine, because of the removal of crit combo multipliers.
Yes.
Yeah, so this makes them very powerful, but apparently still doesn't really scale well into long-term game. But probably good for the majority of missions.
I mean that does make sense. If you go back to the old way, then if you go so far into a mission, you start hitting, like, you know, at max, you'd be hitting, like, 8 times, as we've discussed in previous episodes. But with this, it's... you don't have that anymore, so you don't have that build-up of power over time anymore. So I can see why these have actually been boosted, but it still doesn't make up for the removal of the combo counter crit.
Exactly. But because most people don't play long-term survivals, like really long-term, hour plus, I'm saying, then it's not going to matter a great deal, and it's probably going to make melee very... crit meta, I would assume. Which is why I was saying the Fragor Prime is probably a good one to get now. Anyway, there have been a bunch of specific stance improvements to better suit the new combos, so certain things weren't working very well with certain stances, so they changed them up to make it so that you could proc certain attacks by doing easier combos, which is great. Lucas was talking about the gun blades earlier. With myself and telling me about how that it's a lot easier to get them to fire consistently. So, exciting times ahead.
Yes, yes, much excitement. And now, Requiem Relics finally count towards the Nightwave Axe.
Yes, so this is one I think that frustrated a lot of people. They were doing Requiem Relics and they weren't counting towards the do X amount of Nightwave of Relic runs. So, good.
Yay!
So keep the feedback coming to DE so that they know what kind of fixes will help, because, you know, it's such a complicated game that certain things easily slip between the cracks, and they are continually patching what was overlooked. So, good news. Hopefully this update, who knows when it's going to hit the console. But, yeah, so some of these things aren't going to come to the console. The crit chance mods, etc., they're going to still be what they were on console this week when the old blood hits. But, yeah, hopefully this can't be too far behind. We shall see. Now, I wanted to have another quick discussion before we move into our beginner and advanced topics, Lucas.
Yes, yes.
There is only, and I counted, there's only 6 weeks left for the rest of the year. Now, considering that last week of the year is a dead week because of Christmas and New Year, that really leaves us with 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
And we know that this week the old blood is coming out on console, so nothing's going to be released this week. So that really leaves us with 4 weeks.
4 weeks for DE to keep their promise and drop Railjack.
Indeed. So that's pretty... scary, really, because 4 weeks is not a long time. They said they were going to release it in 3 parts, so it sounds to me like one of those parts is probably not going to make this year.
I would honestly argue 2 of those parts would not make this year, to be honest.
Quite possibly, because... so, which really means that Railjack is not going to hit this year, because the first part was just giving us the dry dock.
Yeah, part one, dry dock. Still no dry dock.
Indeed.
4 weeks left to get it. So, what's that, like, what, you'd need probably 2 weeks between drops, and they literally just dropped one of the biggest updates in the longest time,
yeah.
Like, 3 weeks ago now.
So, my thought is, because we were all expecting a dev stream this week. Now, I know that the dev team was working their asses off to get console into cert. But the console update went into cert on Wednesday, and we still didn't have a dev stream. So my thoughts are 2 things. 1, they don't want to have a dev stream because the only thing they can talk about on dev stream is Railjack, and console still hasn't got the last update. So I think they've pushed it back because how can they talk about the next big thing when console still hasn't got the last big thing?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And the other thing I was thinking is, I'm thinking they're working their asses off now to get at least the dock, the dry dock, out on PC as soon as possible so that they can hopefully get the rest of at least the flight-based part of Empyrean out on PC before the end of the year.
Yeah. See, that's still one thing that doesn't make any sense to me. Why don't we have dry dock yet? It's literally just a piece that they can throw into the dojos and...
There has to be a reason for it.
It's not making any damn sense.
I think it comes down to the fact that Empyrean wasn't ready enough for it. And if they dropped the dry dock and then didn't drop Empyrean for 4 or 5 weeks afterwards, I've got a feeling they're going to drop the dry dock 1 week and then Empyrean within a week or two after.
I hope so.
Because the dry dock's not going to be a massive update. It's just going to be the dry dock.
No, it won't. It won't be a massive update. And like they literally just dropped a broom in the dojo.
Yeah.
Like 2 days ago.
In so this hotfix.
Why can't they just drop another one?
Exactly. So there's a bunch of concerns, but I would say this. Console players, I think you're not going to get Empyrean this year.
Yeah. No, I don't hold your breath, guys.
Can't guarantee really, it.
Realistically,
but
do not hold your breath.
Yeah. I would say Empyrean will probably hit PC around the end of November, start of December, which leaves 2 or 3 weeks to get it out on consoles, and it'll only happen if they go with that time frame.
Yeah.
So if Empyrean drops within the next 2 weeks, consoles will get it before Christmas. If Empyrean drops after 2 weeks, it's going to be next year.
You've also got to consider all the bugs and fixes that they're going to have to do. I mean, looking at this update,
it's going
to
be much bigger. Yeah.
This update that they just dropped, the old blood was huge. And they're still kind of doing, they're still dropping hot fixes. They're still trying to fix bugs. They're still trying to collect everything up and put it in a nice little fucking bundle. Imperium's going to be at least 5 times bigger.
Mm.
At least 5 times bigger because of the simple fact that they're adding new places to explore. Like, it's not just, oh, here, you can fly your ship. No, there's actually going to be places you can fly your ship. So you've got to put into account all of that data, the sheer size of it, all the mechanics, everything. It's going to be massive. So there is a to be expected to be a hell of a lot more bugs and issues for them to sort out. Exactly. So I would actually say maybe even a month after PC gets it, you console may be lucky.
Yeah. It's very, very hard to say. And that's why I'm starting to think that it's safe for us to say console's probably not going to get Empyrean this year. I really hope that's not the case.
Empyrean console really 2020.
Hope something comes out just before Christmas, but if it does, then DE's going to go on leave. And what about all the bugs that need to be fixed for console? So...
Oh, the bugs.
It's a tough one, and we're just left with not enough time in the year to get that out. So how do we feel about that, Lucas?
Honestly, it's pretty shitty. My honest opinion is they would be a hell of a lot smarter to actually wait till 2020 to drop it.
I mean...
Is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 weeks they go on leave? Like 1 week at the end of the year and then 1 week at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay, so it's 2 weeks that people would have to be playing around with bugs and the frustration, the sheer intense frustration and hatred towards bugs would build up, and it would not help DE in the slightest. They would come back from their holidays and just be thrown straight into the deep end, and it would be more exhausting for them.
At the same time, everyone's going to be on holidays and there's not going to be a new update for people to play with. And I think the fans, the negativity within the community will boil over Christmas as well if they don't bring it out prior. So I think either way, they're
in hot water.
Maybe a little bit damned if they do, damned if they don't. Now, I don't like to have to say that, but it's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Bad timing.
So what I would encourage the community to do is prepare yourself, because if you've been getting excited about it, don't let yourself get super negative if it doesn't end up coming out, because developing games is hard. I know there were certain promises that were made. They weren't, you know, ironclad promises, though. They've done their best to stick to them.
They were goals, and not exactly promises, just straight up goals. They've tried keeping to their goals. And to be honest, looking at this year, you look at 2019, and they have actually fulfilled so many of their goals that they've set for themselves. So even if they just don't, if they don't make this one, then you know what? Give them a breather, because they have done really damn good this year.
It was a pretty ambitious year. They've done fairly well. We've got a lot of good content, but at the same time, we've got a lot of holdover content. So
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of long-term players out there that are saying, okay, yeah, it's great. We've got a lot of cosmetics and things this year, but we haven't actually been given a lot to do besides Kuva Liches. So, well, we'll see how it goes, but you know what? Rather than being negative, just go play a different game. Warframe will always be here for you when you come back, and so will we. So
yep.
I guess that's what I want to say. And I also want to say, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Absolutely. I really do hope that they pull through and actually can, you know, work this out, because it would be amazing. Yeah. It would absolutely be amazing to get this, you know, done, dusted, out the door. There's the groundwork. So if they have anything else they want to do later on down the track or next year, they can then do it, because they just need to get the groundwork out. They need to get Imperium in its most basic of forms out the door.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that I'm wrong and next week the dev stream comes out and they say Imperium's coming in this amount of time. Please, that would be fucking amazing. But if not, I'm prepared for a flat no, it's not going to happen, and shit happens. There's plenty of good games coming out at the end of the year, so we've got plenty of stuff to do. We shall see, yeah. But I've really got a feeling that the reason they pulled the Liches forward is because they knew that Empyrean was not going to make the end of the year timeframe, and they just didn't want to say it out loud because the community would crack the shits, and they're going to crack the shits anyway. So,
yeah,
we shall see. I don't want to be too negative.
We shall
see. Could be wrong. Could be wrong. Hopefully wrong.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. Well, anyway, that is where we're at the moment. Anything else you want to say on either the hotfix or the rest of the year? We didn't even mention the new war. That's definitely not coming out.
No, that's... Okay, you know what? The new war, I'm just going to say this now.
June.
New war will be June next year, a month before TennoCon 2020.
Yeah. I'm starting to think you're going to be right about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to beginner and advanced topics. I was at a loss again for what to do this week, because I think 70 episodes in, we've really covered a lot of beginner topics, and I may need to start going back and recovering some of the content that we covered in the past, but we'll see. If you are listening and you've got a specific topic you'd like us to cover, let us know. We'll decide whether it's a beginner topic or an advanced topic. So you don't need to be specific. It doesn't matter. Just say, hey, I've always wondered about this. Can you explain it? Let us know. That'd be friggin' great. This week, I've decided to cover the market. I've called it deciphering the market. The market's not that confusing, but it can be when you're a new player. So what is the market? The market is a place where you can buy all sorts of things for Warframe. Now, at first, initially, it looks like a premium store, because when you go to the market and you click on it as a player, it brings up all the bundles that you need to purchase with real-world dollars. So the thing they want to show off and get in your face are the Prime Access packs and the unvaulted whatevers that are out at the moment, plus a whole bunch of bundles, and everything's either got a platinum number against it, or it takes you outside of the Warframe client to go somewhere else to buy these packs. So initially when I saw it, I thought, ah, it's just a premium store for cash purchases. But it's actually not. In fact, the majority of what I and most players of Warframe use the market for is not to make premium purchases at all. Probably is now that I'm really deep into the game. It's probably 50-50. But initially, I purchased most of stuff that I needed with credits. So you can actually make purchases, a lot of purchases, with credits and not with platinum. You can also make purchases with platinum. So keep in mind that any platinum purchase you make of a weapon or a warframe from the market will include a slot and an Orican catalyst or reactor. So that's pretty important. It is kind of expensive when you buy things for platinum, but the good thing is it includes both a slot and a catalyst or reactor. So each of those are 20 platinum each. So you're kind of factoring in 40 platinum into the purchase. Keep that in mind. It's not a player-to-player market, although there is a website called warframe.market that can be used as such. So the market will have a whole bunch of items that you can purchase. So what is in the market? Of course, there are warframes that you can buy, including the frames themselves, their armor and accessories, or animations. So if you weren't aware, warframes actually have idle animations, and you can buy different ones with platinum only for your different warframes. Now, keep this in mind. When it comes to accessories, anything that's going to make your frame or your weapon look different, it will always be platinum only. You can also purchase Arc wings, however you want to say it. Weapons, so the weapons themselves, and cosmetics, again, cosmetics, platinum only. Boosters, platinum only. You can purchase some resources, but not all. Certain resources such as argon crystals, nitane, these are resources that you cannot purchase from the market, not with platinum, not with credits. A lot of the resources that you can purchase from the market, you can only purchase with platinum, and they are super expensive for a very limited amount of resources, because the game doesn't want people to buy resources for platinum. It wants to discourage you for buying them for platinum, and that's why the price is so high. Don't look at it and think that DE is trying to, you know, just make people pay a shitload of money. They are giving people who really want to an alternative way of quickly getting the resources they need, but they're discouraging people by actually going trying down that path by making it expensive. Just keep away from it, it's my advice. You can also buy derelict keys for credits. Now, derelict keys are what you need to access the derelict on the map once that unlocks for you later in the game. You can buy extractors. Now, this is really important. Extractors, once you've unlocked all of the nodes on a planet, you can deploy an extractor which will extract resources. Now, those extractors, the blueprints for those extractors are pretty expensive, but they're really, really useful. So I recommend you hunting those down whenever you've got surplus of credits. Something like 100,000 from memory credits. You can purchase companions. You can purchase slots. Now, that's weapon slots, companion slots, warframe slots, arcwing slots, all sorts of slots. And you can only purchase those for platinum. You can purchase mods, but they're mod packs. You can purchase Endo, which I wasn't aware of, for platinum, of course. Transmute cores, if you really wanted them, for platinum. You can also purchase gear. Now, a lot of this gear you can purchase for credits, which is fantastic. So they include ciphers, which allow you to skip the hacking requirement, unless you're doing a sortie or nightmare. You can also buy, and this is an important one, a 10 times cipher blueprint. So when you use that in the foundry, you're building 10 ciphers instead of one. Get that. It's 250,000 credits, but you bloody well want it. Trust me. You can buy your codex scanners from there, so you don't need to go back to Samaras. You can get pizza blueprints. What are pizzas? They are little things you can deploy that used to look like pizzas and don't quite look like metal pizzas anymore that can... they pulse to give you energy or health or ammunition. So you can buy energy or health or ammo boosters, pizzas, we call them. You can buy a once-off one, or again, you can buy a 10 times blueprint. And again, they're $250,000, but so worth it. You can also buy fireworks if you're crazy. Don't do it. You can buy antitoxin. Lucas talked about antitoxins in a recent episode, only a couple of episodes ago, but really, you don't need to build them. Color palettes, which are, of course, because they're cosmetics, platinum only. Landing craft and skins, platinum only. Decorations, all platinum only, and that includes noggles, displays, and resources. And when you look at the displays, you can see a nice little picture on them, but you're not buying the picture, you're buying the shape of the display. Really important to keep that in mind. And lastly, there's a whole bunch of bundles in there. Now, the bundles are going to be related to something. So, for example, There's a What Stalker bundle. So for a long time, DE pretended that the Stalker didn't exist and that it was some kind of bug. This is really, really long time ago back in the game. And they used to always say, What Stalker? What are you talking about? So as a reference to that, they've created a bundle called the What Stalker bundle, now that we all know he exists. And within that, you can buy all of his weapons and everything. So you get Dread, Hate, and Despair. And you get War and Broken War. And you get the armor. And it's super crazy, ridiculously expensive. It's like 900 platinum, something like that. And it's a bundle, so you can buy all of that together if you want, crazy person. But there are no discounts and no vouchers will apply. So that's for all bundles. You cannot get a discount on bundles. And even if you own some of the items within the bundle, you get no discount. Really important that you know that. Okay, so the market sells a whole bunch of different things. I will quickly go over the platform differences. There are really only two. One is Tenogen. On consoles, you can buy Tenogen within the market for platinum. Tenogen are community-created accessories, skins. So you can buy them from the market using platinum. But on PC, you can only buy them from the Steam store using real-world money. So keep that in mind. The other thing is market coupons. On the PC, you get a coupon as part of your login reward that will give you a discount on Warframe.com for platinum. So when you're buying a whole bundle of platinum, you can get a discount towards that purchase. But because the market or the platinum purchases work really different on the console stores, you get a discount that you can use for your purchases within the market on consoles. So that means if you get a 50% discount, then you can go buy something that's usually worth 220 platinum for 110 platinum on console. So it sort of balances out, but doesn't really. It's insanely more, heaps more expensive, crazily more expensive to play Warframe on console. Sorry to have to let you know that, console players, but yeah, PC's a lot cheaper. Anyway, certain things cannot be found in the market, but are purchasable from other players, places. For example, glyphs. When you're looking to give yourself a nice new glyph, you can purchase them from within the selection place, but not all of the glyphs are available in the market. So, anyway. Also, this is really important. So if you haven't listened to anything else, this is the most important thing. Not all weapons and warframes can be found in the market because some of them need to be found as part of quests, especially warframes, that is. And all of the weapons that are available in the dojos are not available for purchase by blueprints or credits in the market. Often they'll be there and you can purchase them for platinum only. But yeah, not every weapon or warframe is going to be in the market. So the important thing is this last thing. Actually, this is the most important thing. Blueprints. When you're looking at weapons, you can press a button. It'll be somewhere on the bottom right hand of the screen that will say blueprints only. And if you click that, it will show you only items that have blueprints that you can purchase for credits. So if you're going there without planning to spend any real world money or any platinum, click that button and then you can go through knowing that you're only looking at things that can be purchased with in-game credits. Phew, that was a lot. It was kind of confusing. Anything else you think I've missed, Lucas?
Nope.
Good. That's what I like to hear. So let's head on into the advanced topic. Go for it.
Okay. So it's a tiring job being a Tenno. What with having to learn to be stealthy, perfecting parkour skills, gaining mastery over numerous weapons and frames, and on top of all that, being tech savvy, so that you can hack into your enemy's security systems. It's just simply exhausting. That is until now, with the introduction of the new tech in Tenno espionage, the Parazon. So now we have our hands on this new data blade, it goes without saying the job has been made easier. Even more so though, with the introduction of special Parazon mods. In this week's advanced topic, we shall explore this new tech at a deeper level and tell you how you can make the most out of this grand new device. So to start things off nice and smoothly, we have the Intruder mod. This mod has been refurbished for the sole purpose of granting Tenno just a little extra time when attempting a security breach. In fact, it increases your allowed time by 8 seconds in Corpus tile sets while reducing the needle speed in terminals aboard Grenier tile sets. This handy little mod can be found from either a Corrupted Bombard, Corrupted Heavy Gunner, or Corrupted Nullifier with a 2.28% drop rate. Getting tired of enemies shooting at you or even striking you whilst you employ your tech-savvy skills? Well, now you don't have to, with the introduction of the new Parazon mod, Livewire. This tricky mod makes it so that while you access the enemy's mainframe, any enemies within 20 meters are zapped with electric currents to prevent them from disrupting your work. Livewire can be acquired from any Tier 2 spy with in the A reward pool at 9.09% drop rate. This next mod is for those that like seeing locked lockers unlocked, as Master Key will unlock 5 locked lockers within 20 meters after a successful hack. With a 10% drop rate, this mod is acquired from any Tier 1 spy, Reward Pool C.
You had fun writing that, didn't you? Locked lockers?
I kind of did, yeah, just a little bit. If you're looking to have a great chance of bypassing the need to hack, then look no further than Auto Breach. This mod grants you a 30% chance to automatically complete a hack. Very nice, very simple. Just 30% chance, clean hack, don't have to do it. Cool, out the window. Found as a reward from any Tier 3 spy on the C reward pool at a 7.04% drop chance. This next mod is called Failsafe. It allows you a 50% chance at a second attempt upon failing your hack. Nice and simple, as sometimes we just need that second chance. Failsafe can be found as a reward in the Lure Spy C reward pool at a 37.94% chance. Blah, getting my words tongue-tied. Needing to move fast after a security breach? Then Runtime has got you covered with a 75% movement speed boost for 15 seconds after a successful hack. Located in the Kuva Spy as part of a reward pool C, this mod has a 7.04% drop rate. And the last of the hacking mods comes in the form of Untraceable. This mod grants you the ability to turn invisible for 15 seconds after successfully hacking. Also rewarded in the reward pool C of the Kuva Spy, and again at 7.04% drop rate. And there we have it, all the hacking mods for the new shiny Parazon. But that's not all there is to this new device. So look forward to next week when we explore the Parazon mods part 2, Mercy Mods.
Indeed. Thanks for that. Now I understand why the Grenier thing slowed down.
Yee.
The only mod I have is Intruder. So that explains things. There are also a couple of other mods there that are pretty interesting. And this is what I like about the Parazon. There's only 3 slots you can put on there. And you've got to choose from, what was that, 5, 6?
7, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, yeah.
7 interesting hacking mods and a bunch of interesting mercy mods that you'll go over.
There's about 7 mercy mods too.
So, yeah, you've got, 14-odd mods, and you can only choose 3 of them.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good idea.
Really, really good options on either side.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at that Auto Breach and Live Wire thinking, yes, yeah. Electrifying and 30% chance to automatically complete a hack.
Exactly. I like both of those. They were the ones that, in particular that I was interested in, so.
Yeah.
Cool stuff, Lucas. I'm really looking forward to the Mercy Mod ones next week as well, because I have a lot of interest about those. Mercy is something that happens a lot, console users. Look forward to it as well.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thanks for that. That was great. Let's move on to...
Love letters to Disco Box.
And this one, this week... We finally got another love letter to Disco Box. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to sing to you apart from the intro. I've got a little smile on my face and a solitary tear running down my cheek of happiness. It's a happy tear. So this one came from M. Leonard 1979 on Twitter, who sent the following to Disco Box.
Oh, Disco Box. The only voice intro I don't skip over. I even listen to the end to hear you close out the episode.
So, not very sexy, that one. Kinda sexy. I did the sexy love letter voice, but not super sexy, but definitely very thankful. And in fact, it made Mr. Box very chuffed. So chuffed is he that he's started recording and uploading thank yous on SoundCloud whenever anybody sends him a love letter. Now, this thank you went for something like 30 seconds, and I had a massive smile on my face while that happened, because I thought, look at all the love we are fostering in our community. So now, you absolutely have to send him a love letter, because you're going to get your own personalized Disco Box thank you.
I mean, what more could you possibly want?
Exactly. And if you make him slightly feel uncomfortable by sending him an awkward one, I wonder what kind of response you're going to get. Let's test him out, Collective. Let's see what he's got. Do it. So how do you enter? How do you submit your love letter to Disco Box? All you have to do is, one, use Twitter. And on Twitter, send him, or just use @disco_box, send him your love letter, and copy us on there using @CephalonSquared or #CephalonSquared, however you like. If you don't have a Twitter account, create one. This is important.
Important work, people. Important work.
It is important stuff. You never have to use your Twitter account ever again. It's important stuff. Anyway, thank you, M. Leonard, 1979. Appreciate it. If you were born in 1979, that's just a year after me. So, love ya. Love your stuff. And happy 40th. Anyway, okay. Community call out. So, we've got a reviews update. I got a review via email this week, so thank you to that lovely person, and I will read that out in a couple of weeks when we catch up. And there was an additional US? No. An additional UK review this week. Thank you to that person over in the UK who decided to say, hey, us UK people, we've got to represent. And he sent us a review. He did say in his review that he doesn't really like our weather updates, but hey, can't win them all.
Can't win them all. Ah, well.
Yeah. We still respect you and love you for listening. So we'll get around to that one in a couple of weeks as well. So thank you so very much for those new reviews. That brings us up to 96 reviews. We're only 4 reviews away from hitting 100 and doing a live stream. Now, just something that I'd like to announce that I discussed with the guys over the weekend, and I think Lucas saw the notes, hopefully.
I did see this, you did.
Good. We're also planning to have our moderators on the, stream as well. So, yes. Cephalon Lars and Cephalon Doug will also join us, hopefully all going well, on our streamcast. So, you can ask us all questions, whatever you like. We'll figure out how to do it so we're not all talking over each other. Hopefully.
Will the cheese be involved?
Did I say Doug?
You said Doug?
And cheese.
You said Doug and Lars, but no cheese.
I didn't say cheese. Cool. We got 3 moderators now, don't we?
3 mods.
Bloody hell. Yes. And cheese. How could I forget hot cheese?
How could you forget the cheese?
My love for hot cheese goes deep.
I'm hurt right now that you forgot the cheese.
I'm hurt too. He's probably hurt as well. I'm going to have to buy and enjoy some queso just for hot cheese.
I think you're going to have to, yeah.
He knows the love. He knows the love. All right. So, look forward to that. There'll be 5 of us, that means, all talking together.
It's going to be a fun one. So, come on, people, please get us those 4 more reviews. It's all we need. And then you can enjoy us in our entire glory.
Exactly. And they don't have to be 5-star reviews. Just leave an honest review. Whatever you like. 5 stars best.
But I mean, we totally are, like,
we deserve
amazing. 5 stars. So, yeah.
But it is up to you. Leave what you feel. Give us a review. Let other people know that the show is, hopefully, worth listening to. And here is one such review that was left on CastBox. It's a simple one, but we love the simple ones. You want to read it out, Lucas?
I shall. CastBox review from Hums the Crazy D. I like your podcast series.
Indeed.
Also, quick shout out to Cannibal Kiwi, who's been sharing every episode via CastBox and Twitter. Swoon.
Indeed. So that last part wasn't from Hums the Crazy D. That was from me.
Ah.
But quick shout out to Cannibal Kiwi. He has been sharing all of our episodes via CastBox on Twitter. I don't know whether it's like something you can set up so that whenever you put a comment on CastBox, it gets shared via Twitter. No idea, but it's happening, and we love him for it.
Yay!
And before we close out this week, we have another Dr. Cephalon. I mentioned this last week that we had two, so this is the second one. This one is from our good friend and patron, KnightRider8503, and he says,
Dear Dr. Cephalon, after making the switch from console to PC, I was wondering what you guys did differently when you started your other accounts versus the first time you played Warframe. Also, what mod will you be using your legendary core on?
So, what do you think, Lucas?
Okay, so I'm probably going to get shot down for this first one, but I'm going to start with the legendary core because I've already used mine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What'd you use it on?
I used it on Umbral Fiber.
Okay.
Yep.
Why would you get shot down for that?
Because it was already at half when I chucked it on.
Yeah, but we did figure out that it still costs like 40,000 endo from halfway. So it's still a valid purchase, in my opinion.
This is true, and this is why I decided to use it. But not everyone's going to share that opinion, and
yeah.
Oh, well, I did it. It was my core. I spent it that way.
I'm with you on that, though. I'm either going to fully rank a primed mod from zero on my PC, because I don't have any primed mods yet, so when I get one, I can fully rank the damn thing. Or I'm going to do an Umbral or a Sacrificial. Because, they're expensive to rank up.
Not very. Very expensive.
On console, again, it'll probably be a Sacrificial or a Umbral because they're expensive to rank up. And my primed mods, I've gone up to about rank 8, mostly. So it'll be cheaper for me to just keep ranking them up manually.
I think on console, my Umbrals are pretty much already at max, and I don't really use Sacrificial. Oh no, I think my Sacrificial pretty much at max as well because I use them on my Paracelsus. So,
well, you're going to be using Sacrificials now.
Yeah, so it's like Sacrificial, Umbral, okay, no point doing it on either of those. I'll find something prime to throw it on. Yeah.
Yeah, so as excited as I was about getting a legendary core, I am probably not going to use it for a while, and it's probably going to be stupid that I'm not going to use it, just because I'm going to be like, oh, there's going to be something better to use it on. In the end, I just got to use it on something and move on.
Or you could just, you know, wait till the new war, and hopefully something awesome will drop then. Then you'd be like, oh, I'm glad I saved my legendary core.
Indeed. It's a distinct possibility, to be honest. All right, what about the first question? What did you do differently when you started your account versus the first time you played Warframe?
Continued playing, for one.
Yes.
What else? I guess with my PS4 account, I wasn't entirely sure how everything worked, so the very first thing I did was I went and bought Platinum and purchased Loki. Because I was like, okay, let's read up on the different Warframes and see what kind of abilities they have. And the second I saw that Loki's description was, this frame is for the more advanced player, I was like, ha ha, this is mine, I'm going to take Loki. Yeah, that was kind of a mistake. He's a good frame, don't get me wrong. But advanced is not the word I would use for him.
Waste of
time. So this time around, I actually went and got frames that I did want to play with because I've learnt my lesson.
You also knew how to get through everything much, much faster.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an absolute given. I think what took me about 3 months originally on my PlayStation account to get past the war within, and it took me like 30 hours on my PC account to finish the star chart and catch up to date and all the storyline missions.
Yeah. For me, I guess the only difference I had with playing on PC was that I knew what to do, so I didn't really waste time on things that I knew were a waste of time, like playing all the extra nodes on planets when all I had to do was make a beeline for the junction. So that's one thing. But I guess when I started on my PC account originally, it was a long time before Lucas did, and we had no idea that the podcast was actually going to be somewhat popular, and that people would actually listen to it. So we really didn't know we were still going to be going in a year's time, 70 episodes later. And the other thing is, Lucas wasn't going to play with me on PC, so I didn't think it was going to be something I really had to maintain or smash through. So I just did it a little bit here and there in my spare time. And then all of a sudden, Lucas got a PC, so then I started rushing through it. But by then, I was already up to Saturn, and I'd taken my time to get there. So I don't think I really did terribly much differently originally with my PC account.
I can say one thing you've definitely done differently so far. This is an outside view. On your PlayStation account, you spent every waking moment on Warframe doing nothing but MR grind. You have not done that on PC.
That's very true. And it's not because I don't necessarily want to do it on PC. It's because I've already done it, and I see it as a waste of time doing it on PC.
I'm very much in the same boat. Like, I've just hit MR10, and honestly, I'm at a good point now. I'm kind of plateaued, and it's like, yep, cool. I can get the weapons and gear that I want to use, and I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I played all of the weapons on PS4, and I don't need to play them all again on PC.
Yeah.
So really all I'm doing is trying to acquire the stuff that I want, that I can build good, make good builds out of, and not worry too much about the rest of the stuff. And if I want to get a max MR account on PC, then I can slowly work towards it. But the other thing that concerns me is, what's going to go on with cross-save? Are we going to merge accounts, or are we going to have a single account take over?
Please let us merge accounts.
Yeah, if we can merge accounts, I will be so much happier, because I've now put in over 100 hours onto PC, and I don't want that to go to waste.
Yeah.
There's things I have on PC that I don't have on PS4, and vice versa, and I don't want to lose anything. So, don't know what they're going to do. If I do have to lose something, well, I'll make that decision when the time comes, but and it will be PS4 that goes over the top, because I've got all my stuff there, but it'll be sad.
Many sadnesses.
Indeed. So that was a little bit of a letdown at the end. Aww. Cheer up, Charlie. Anyway, that brings us to the end of episode 70, the big episode 70 of Episode Squared. Keep in mind that...
Of Episode Squared?
Episode Squared, is that what I said?
Episode Squared, yeah. Episode
Thanks
Squared.
Thanks for listening to Episode
Hi,
Squared.
Hi, folks, we are Episode Squared.
We've just changed our name to Episode Squared. The big Cephalon... Fuck, I was going to say Cephalon 70. I must be tired or something.
I'll say so. I mean, it's been a long episode, so, you know, justified.
I guess.
Do you want to try again?
That's the end of episode 70 of Cephalon Squared. Thank you for listening. This week we will be doing a lore cast, and we have no idea what we're going to do as yet, but we will figure that out within the next couple of days, as we always do. So looking forward to that.
Yep. And as the, every time we come up to a lore cast, the dreaded... yep, the cool. Fear. Get that out of the way. Now fear everyone knows Lorecast is coming.
Indeed, indeed. The fear is upon us. So if you'd like to get in contact with us for anything, to make any suggestions about beginner advanced topics, or even about the lore frame, to tell us what you like or don't like about the show, whatever you want to do, even just to say, hey, I listen, thanks. Head on over to our website at cephalonsquared.com, or shoot us an email at cephalonsquared@gmail.com.
We will count that as a review.
Yes, if it's a review, a proper review, and you say that you can't access reviews on any other place, then we'll count it as a review, but it's best to go to iTunes and or Castbox or wherever. So just to let you know why people ask for that, it actually impacts the way that the algorithm presents your content to other people. So, for example, you listen to a lot of video game podcasts, but you've never heard of Cephalon Squared. The more reviews we get that are positive, so 3, 4, 5 stars, the more of those we get and the more interaction we get with our listeners, the more likely iTunes is to suggest it to other people. Not only that, but when you're looking for a new podcast, if you see a review and it says 5 stars and you've got 50 people saying 5 stars, that's going to influence your decision to listen to the show. Plus, of course, the more listeners we have, then we end up in the charts, etc., etc., etc. So we do ask for this for somewhat selfish reasons, of course, but of course we want our show to succeed. So that's why we keep asking for it. We do want to continue growing as we have been. So we can't say anything except thank you so much for everyone that has given us a review to date. And please, if you can, jump on there and give it a shot, if you can. Anyway, let's have a quick thank you to our patrons.
Thank you, Rathok.
Thank you, Jellybean1799.
Thank you, Lord Frieson.
Thanks, Logan Neal.
Thank you, Danathan.
Thanks, KnightRider8503.
And thank you, Solarian.
Indeed. So these are our patrons, of course, who support us on Patreon at the honorary Cephalon level or above. If you'd like to see what those ranks are, there are 5, I think, that I've set up of tiers of patron level. Head on over to patreon.com/CephalonSquared and you can check that out. Anyway, my name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the interwebs. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the interwebs. SILVRLGHT. Massive thank you to our lovely, amazing, glorious, phantasmal community. You guys rock. Thank you so much for supporting us. And one other thing I wanted to throw in earlier, but forgot about it completely. If you do not know, we actually do have a Twitch channel. So
yes.
Yeah, we stream Fridays and Saturdays Australian time, Friday, Saturday nights, and we even have a good friend Rathok who streams on for us on Monday mornings Australian time.
Yep.
Yeah, so definitely go check that out. That's Twitch.tv/CephalonSquared.
Indeed, we don't plug that enough.
No, so we don't. No.
You're right. We should probably do something like that at the start of episodes. The other thing is, bit late now. I'll do it earlier on next week's episode. Both our PS4 and our Xbox clans and our PC and our Switch clans, all 4 of them, are looking for more people, especially Xbox. So the Xbox guys are really wanting to find more people. They're spread out across the world and sometimes they don't get a chance to play with each other. So we're looking to build a good solid clan on Xbox. So jump into our Discord if that is you or if that interests you. On PS4, we're really looking for someone to run the clan, I would imagine, because we just don't have time anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a pretty dedicated kind of role. So
Cephalon Squared is looking for you.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll do that call out on next week's episode as well. But we're right at the end of this one, so let's just close it out. Thanks to Yarn at @Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. Make sure you send him a love letter so that he knows how much you love his voice, and he'll send you a love letter right back. And thank you to you for listening. We're Cephalon Squared. We'll be back in a couple of days for the Lorecast.
Lorecast.
Frightening.
Dun, dun, dun. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.